Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now get ready for another episode of Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For almost 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death. And so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. First, I want to say thank you for listening. Coming from producer Tom, the numbers have been growing. You guys have been sharing the show. I've been receiving dozens of emails from listeners, and so many of you have taken me up on the request to join our Facebook group, which, just to remind you, go to wedontdie.com, and at the top, one of the tabs says Facebook group. So join in, you can participate. One of the things that I've heard quite often, though, is more near-death experiences. Yeah, I like them too. Really good stories of what people experience when they cross over. And thankfully, they've come back. So today on the show, we have another experience just for you because you've asked for it. We have Leslie Lupo, and she's trained in psychology and NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. She's also a longtime intuitive therapist, and she's the author of the book, Remember Every Breath is Precious. Hello, Leslie.
Hello. Very honored that you contacted me.
Oh, it is my pleasure, of course. Leslie, can you tell us how you got into this wonderful world and what you know about life after death?
It all started in March of 88. I was working at a dude ranch, and I was the vice president of operations. At that point, you bounce around a lot between different departments to help whoever's needed. And one of the cowboys was not feeling well, so I jumped into the wrangling department and helped out. At the end of the day, we were unsaddling, waiting for the last two rides to come in, and two horses had snuck out the gate and run down to the hay barn with their saddles on, which is dangerous for the horses. They can get hurt if they roll, and it's a problem. So I ran down to the hay barn with two halters to grab the horses and come up. And I don't know if people know horses, but they're not like on television where they're just so sweet and like a puppy,
right?
Especially a large herd. We had like over 100 horses.
Wow.
But the thing about them is there's never enough food for them. No matter how much you put them up, they will eat to their fill, but they're still panicky. So everybody's jammed in eating at the end of the day. And I had to try to wiggle between horses to bring them in. And at first I thought I was really lucky because they were standing right next to each other. But as it turned out, it was hard for me to make it through where all the saddle and the stirrups were. So at one point, I was clucking and poking them, and they just kind of looked at me like, hey, you're smaller than me and I'm hungry, and ignored me. At one point, I turned around to try to push myself backwards. And at that moment, my mind or my consciousness, my soul, popped out of my body and stood about 6 feet away watching it. I was really shocked. I remember thinking, what? But I couldn't even think of words as I watched myself continue to try to wiggle in between those two horses. And all of a sudden, one of the horses on my left, me, the soul body, not me, the person in the horses, screeched, and the six or seven horses around me bolted. At that time, I spun and my right arm went through the stirrup of the horse, and because I was dragging on him when he was trying to run with the other horses, he first hit me with his head. He kind of headbutted me sideways, which caused me to go crashing into the corner of concrete and metal, the hay barn, and I dropped like a sack of rocks.
Wow.
I'm watching all this with the awareness. I didn't feel, my body was screaming. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel any nervousness. I didn't feel any despair. I didn't feel any pain. But it was almost like dispassionately watching it, like, wow, you know, like what's going on? And it just took a few seconds to be over, but I knew I was dead. And I knew it. I mean, there was never a doubt in my mind, yet my first reaction was to start giggling. I remember thinking, this is it. This is what everyone's so afraid of. I'm still here and I'm still thinking.
Hmm.
And I felt such peacefulness and love and freshness. It was kind of like if you could picture taking off a body girdle that's four sizes too small, how fresh you would feel.
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah.
Like you know, when you're walking around in a towel after a shower, you feel so fresh. It was almost like every cell had separated and this beautiful breeze was going through. And I felt such just peacefulness and completeness, and that this is the way it should be, this feeling. And, you know, I'm a very curious person. So the first next thing I thought was, whoa, what do I look like? So I looked down at myself and I was still in my blue jeans and my boots and everything. And it wasn't see-through or anything like that. But I did notice it was almost like this little tiny mist was rising off of me. And the mist was just a little tiny bit of blue and this mist that was rising off of me. The other thing I noticed was how intensely accurate my vision was. When we're staring at something, we look at the center, and then by the time we get out a few feet on either side into the edges of our peripheral vision, it's gone. And that didn't happen. It was as if everything within my peripheral vision was perfectly in focus, and yet wasn't overwhelming, like too much information. The same thing with sound. I heard every little bird. I've heard every little scurry of a lizard, you know. The horses were chomping again. I could hear their woofing breath as they kind of grabbed the alfalfa. So I just stood there marveling at everything. And then down by the bottom of the holding pen, I saw the cowboys, both rides were back, so they opened the gate. And I felt this really sweet nostalgia, like, oh, I know what they're doing. I've done that. You know, like, it was almost like going back to a merry-go-round and watching children ride on it and remembering how thrilling it was when I was little. That kind of just happiness. And they came in and they started up, you know, got the guests in, closed the gate, started towards the unsaddling part, and saw the boss's wife laying mud face down in manure and raced over. And I was just a few feet from them, and they flipped me over and started trying to resuscitate me. And no matter how much I screamed, please don't, I'm fine, they kept trying. And two of the guests had gotten down, and they were both doing the CPR together. And one man that was doing the breath kept watching his watch. And then after whatever minutes, they said it was 6 or 7 minutes, they stopped, and they still couldn't get breath. And the cowboys later told me that my skin was pure gray and my lips were the color of my blue jeans. And one of the men sat back and said, go get Bob, she's gone. So at that point, it was interesting because I began to let go of being in Tucson, but Tucson just started to fade. I know a lot of people have talked about feeling like they were lifted up or above. I mean, I wasn't feeling like I was standing on the ground, but just like maybe a foot above. But it's almost as if this world started emerging. Tucson started fading and another world came in it was an oak forest. It was a very thick oak forest. And my impression was I'm just going to another level. Like, I've studied energy and I know the magnetic field and the color spectrum and the sound spectrum. And I felt like I was being moved to a different part of those spectrums, you know, outside what we normally see, because I got the impression that it was just me closing my eyes and waking up and being in a different, on a different plane, but in the same area. And it was a beautiful oak forest. And all of the crisp alertness that I had downstairs is what I call earth, and upstairs is what I call heaven. All that crispness was a bit gone. I felt like, you know, you wake up a little groggy because you had two glasses of wine the night before. You know?
Yes.
Just groggy. You know, I was kind of like trying to get my sea legs, so to speak. And everything was so intensified as far as the beauty and the peacefulness. All I could feel was this extraordinary level of selfless love. I know that we've had speakers here in Tucson, and a few of them had talked about the unconditional love. And for me, I just use a different word, because the time that I feel it on earth, if you've ever given someone a present and they're opening it up and they look at you and they, the look in their eyes, you know, it was a perfect thing, or like a give a gift like that to a child, and look at the joy they feel when you know you hit the bullseye. We get this like rush through our bodies that just makes us feel so alive and loved, because it's a selfless gift of giving someone something you know will bring them great joy. And that kind of feeling, you know, that selfless love. And the other thing I was amazed at was it was a very thick forest. Now, I live in a forest here in Tucson. There's not many of them, but for some reason I have a house here. And there's a great deal of shade and shadow. I noticed that there was no shadows. It was as if I walked up and I was looking at the ferns and the trees and the bushes, and it was as if they were lit from within. And the other thing I can say is, this evening when the sun is setting, go out and put a tree between you and the sun. And when you see those, the sunlight coming through the leaves, that's maybe 10% of what it is upstairs, but you get that feeling of how things are all lit from within.
Leslie, we have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll find out more about your forest. It sounds extraordinary. And for those listening, you can check out LeslieJoanLupo.com. We'll be back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Hey folks, producer Tom here, reminding you to make sure and check out our official Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel. For many of us, YouTube is our go-to place for audio-visual media, and we here at Coast to Coast are happy to share free hour-long excerpts of Coast to Coast AM with you, our loyal fans and new listeners. Our YouTube channel offers many different Coast to Coast AM hour-long pieces of audio on numerous topics, including ufology, extraterrestrials, conspiracies, strange creatures, prophecies, and much more. Much more. There's even a section that includes our most popular uploads, such as many of the David Pilates shows on people disappearing in national parks. To visit or subscribe, just go to YouTube and type in Coast to Coast AM Official, or you can simply go to the coasttocoastam.com website and click on the YouTube icon at the top. It's the official Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel. You're gonna love this. Just get on over to coasttocoastam.com and start your free listening now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? It's easy for people to ignore their social batteries and spread themselves thin, especially at this time of year, when gatherings are picking up again after the winter. But it's important to find the right amount of socializing for you and still give yourself the time to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge. Because a full battery is the key to a full life. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm George Norrie. Thank you for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. With the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. So head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are with Leslie Lupo as she talks about her near-death experience after being trampled by some horses. Wow. Leslie, you were just talking about being in the most radiant forest with no shadows. What happened next?
I kept marveling, like just touching things. I walked over to, there was a little river behind me, so I walked over. And there were rocks and there was a lovely splashing sound. And I saw some ferns dripping in and these spiky flowers and butterflies. And there were birds flitting around and singing. And then I turned back. That was to my right. I turned back and I saw over on my left a little opening in the forest. And there was a table that kind of looked like lapis lazuli, that blue lapis. And chairs around it, and I was watching the table, and it was again as if things were still coming through. There was people standing around there, a group of people. So I walked over, and everybody greeted me. And at that point, it was really the first time where I got a really strong sense of something familiar, like, wait a minute, I know these people, I know this place. And I sat down. There was 11 other people, and there were 5 women and 6 men. And there were, we sat around this big oval table. In the middle of the table were some wavy lines that kind of looked like when you're driving and you see those heat waves, because they were just wavy. I really couldn't see people on the other side of the table. I could see just really the people around me. And because they were so I was so groggy, it took me a while to really process. Well, I don't know what a while is, but I right. wasn't as sharp as I was downstairs where everything was bing, bing, bing. I noticed the woman on my right, and I recognized her because when I was really, really little, I used to see what I called angels in my bedroom, in the garden, and all around me. Every once in a while, not all the time, but every once in a while, it would almost be like something kind of kept me still. And then I would see this woman who was next to me, and her name was Mina. It popped in my mind, and I wasn't sure if I was remembering it or if it was telepathic. Oh, one more thing. Before that, before I saw them, me again, what do I look like? And I had this long dress on, and it was a deep, deep Prussian blue, and it was very elaborately embroidered with little gold. And I looked, my hands looked like babies, you know, like I was maybe 20 years old. It was just very young. And I had big, really large, kind of like almost like nickel and quarter size freckles, just a few, but they were really light. And then I was like touching my, okay, I have short, curly hair. Short hair? I like long hair, I was thinking. And so when I walked over the table, everyone was so harmoniously, beautifully dressed. It was, they looked like felted wool, or they looked like silk or cottons, beautiful embroideries. And everyone, again, looked very, very young. It looked like college kids, except for their eyes. There was so much soul and wisdom in the eyes. And I looked over on my right, there was a gentleman sitting, and he had long hair and a beard, but it was interesting because everyone was so harmoniously dressed but him. And his name was Raul. And he had this brilliant, bright, ultraviolet shirt on. And then he had these pants on that were this kind of garish, orangey brown. And I was thinking to myself, well, now, wait a minute. You've got all the colors of the universe to work with. Who dressed you? You know, I was like thinking, well, man, they must, you know, not even upstairs. They can't dress themselves. No, I'm kidding.
You're funny.
But, well, the funny part is this. Rao is actually the, in Ayurvedic, which I knew nothing about this until actually a couple months ago. Rao is a planet in Sanskrit, and Mina is Pisces in Sanskrit. And on that date I had the accident, Rao was going through Mina, which happens every 20 years. And the other thing, Rao's color is ultraviolet, and his stone is Hessenite garnet, which is orangey brown garnet. So
that weird.
It finally made sense to me after 26 years. I figured, oh, okay, that makes sense. But I sat down, and Mina and Rao were the only ones that talked to me, and they explained that I had gone down on a mission with my soul group, and this was the remnant that had been stayed behind. There was 10 that were stayed behind originally, and 20 went down. And I had contracted to come up when I was 21 with another person in the soul group. We were just going to come down, shift consciousness, and bring in a level of forgiveness and begin to open the door to a huge shift of consciousness. She explained to me that between the years of 45 and 65, you know, with a few years on either side, the majority of very, very, very old souls had come down after the two world wars to help shift awareness and bring up consciousness. And I and another soul group person were supposed to pop back up at 21. But she said at the time, right before I was supposed to go, I turned and jumped my contract. She said, that's not a problem. You were a volunteer and they don't mind any amount of help on earth. But now you have a choice. You didn't contract to have two children. You have two children. You can stay up here. You know, you do not have to go back to earth. However, think of how it will impact the children. They will have, you know, no problems either way. But you have a decision to make. You can go down to earth or you can stay up here. You have to think about this. And so Rao and I walked around a little, and I went to meditate in this cave behind a waterfall. He brought me to a place. He said, this is a place that you like to go for stillness. And when I went in, there was a very potent light being there. And as soon as I walked in, I recognized it to be Jesus. Now, the interesting thing is this accident came at a time in my life when I was basically agnostic, bordering on atheist. I had no interest in spirituality. I was a good person. I was a hard worker. I was a good mother. I was a good friend. I was very science-minded, you know. I was not quite a materialist or atheist, but I was definitely not at all interested in any spirituality. I had left that behind due to a tragedy during college, and I just gave up on all that spiritual stuff and just went into work. And so me seeing someone like Jesus really did surprise me, because I wasn't you know, a fan, but I just had no, I mean, I believed at that time Jesus existed, etc. But it was really interesting because he had such a strong aura and such a loving aura. And we talked about forgiveness. And he actually had me lay down on this table that was like white. It was beautiful white marble. In fact, the whole inside of the cave was polished. It looked like it had been hand carved and polished. And little like symbols and ledges were put around there. But it was actually quite huge. It was probably like 40 feet by 40 feet. He took a little bowl with white marble and I could smell rose and sandalwood, and he put them on all my chakras. And he said, "You've done a lot of work. We want you to relax. I'm going to clear some stuff off of you." And so he put them on all my chakras, and then he also put it on my ankles and on my wrists. And we talked a little about forgiveness and self-forgiveness, how difficult it is to accomplish what you feel a goal is when you're working part of a team. You have to be patient, you know, and understand that the goal is emerging and to be patient. And then I was peeking at him, so he put another big blob on my forehead and my third eye, and we were laughing, and he just told me to rest. And I think I napped, because I do remember closing my eyes, and then when I opened them, he was gone. So I climbed down, and Raul had pointed me out to the village saying, "Go over there when you're done." So I walked over and I walked into this big, huge room, a building. You could put an indoor football dome inside the middle of it. It was that large. And the doors were wide open, and I walked in, and all the walls were covered with these tiny little, like a dentist's old dentist office, those little drawers.
Yeah.
And so I walked over and I pulled open a couple of the drawers, and I was looking at different scrolls and different books. And again, was that memory like, oh, I could read this. It looked familiar, but I couldn't quite grasp what it was. And I put them back and I walked along again. And then I saw there were these transepts on either side that were mimicking the room, had again, huge, all this library. And I got about halfway through, and there was this little pedestal that looked like it was made out of bakelite, which is kind of like a white, glossy material, like the old telephones were made out of bakelite, but this was white. And another being, a big, really bright being, came up. She was probably, if I'm 5'6", she was maybe 9 feet tall.
Oh, my. Okay.
And she had this beautiful robe on. It was indigo on the top that kind of went into white, like brilliant white at the hem. And she introduced herself, but I didn't catch her name because it was like a melody. And this was very telepathic. I was listening to her, and she said, "I only come when I'm called. Will you have a question?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand your name." And she laughed, which sounds like this beautiful laugh, you know, and kind of sounded like little glass chimes. And she then said, "On Earth, they call me Saraswati." And so she said, "What information?" And what had happened was, right before my accident, I felt like I had really, like, just something had turned off my hope.
Leslie, I know you have a lot more to say, but we need to go for a break. So we'll hear more about this incredible woman when we come back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The internet is an extraordinary resource that links our children to a world of information, experiences, and ideas. It can also expose them to risk. Teach your children the basic safety rules of the virtual world. Our children are everything. Do everything for them. Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are with Leslie Lupo, who was trampled by horses and had a near-death experience. Leslie, you were just talking very descriptively about your experience in the hereafter, and you met a beautiful woman, and you said something turned off your hope. Can you tell us more about that?
What had happened was I had come across an article that was written in honor of some anniversary, or maybe the lady was trying to go for an appeal or get out of prison. But the woman had these three little gorgeous baby girls. And I saw this picture of these three little children. My children were 3 years old and 1 year old. And you have all that mommy juice, you know, and you're looking at this picture. Oh, sweet little babies. And then I read the story of this woman who took her children one by one and shot them because her girlfriends were going out and she couldn't. She was a high, like, 18 or 19, and she had three children already. She had a child every year for 3 years, and all with different fathers. And she tried to make it like someone to come in, and it knocked me for a loop that a mother could have a visceral connection to these babies and think of so little of them. And I just felt like, you know, I would have taken those children. 100,000 people would have taken those children. You could have taken them and just given them up for adoption. And I just felt very frustrated when I read that. And I could feel myself just shut down. And then she explained it to me by saying, you know, again, you have to keep your eye on the big picture. And you don't know, you know, what their karma is to understand that. But at the end of the conversation, it was very hopeful. You know, she kept showing me ways to take a breath and keep your eye on the bigger picture. And she also was kind of bolstering me with just letting me get a feeling of, you know, you've caught your breath. Now you can understand that that is sometimes what happens in life. Because I was still going back to, how could God let this happen? And her answer was basically, God didn't let it happen. Humans let it happen. So you can't blame spirit for this. This is showing that there's a lot of things that still need to be fixed.
Sure.
Just to be patient and recognize that not one person's going to change it all. It's going to be a group effort. And it reminded me of the random acts of kindness. Remember when that first started coming out?
Yes.
And she was very, very adamant that, like, stopping to let someone in line. If you've got 50 things and they have one, letting them jump ahead of you. Or when we're going down from three lanes to one lane, the more polite people are about letting people in, the quicker you get through, rather than the people that race ahead and try to shoulder their way in. Just being polite. whether they say thank you or not was irrelevant. So she kind of reminded me that. And then she also just gave me, like, the light around her was so intense. And she also told me this was one of my favorite places to hang out because this was the Hall of Records. And we call it the Akashic Records, but upstairs they called it the Hall of Records, where everything was new or cutting edge was up there. And then, oh, no wonder I like encyclopedias so much online. And I spend so much time researching new scientific breakthroughs, you know, whether it's physics or magnetic field or biology or health. I'm always reading. I like to keep abreast of what's cutting edge. And so then I finally went out and Mina was waiting for me. So we went over to a smaller building and she said, now we need to decide. And we had a really long talk. And the interesting thing was, it was the first time I began to feel tired. When we were walking over, I could feel tired, which I had never felt before. In fact, I had never felt any negative emotion. I didn't feel fear. And it's interesting how we have it so hardwired in our psyche with that reptilian, or what they call the animal brain, that fight or flight reflex, how totally, you know, it's part of our dynamics as a human.
Yes.
And it's zero up there. All you have is all the high, happy, lovey parts of you, and all of the fear or conquering or competition or all the negativity, envy, you know, greed. All they didn't even, there was not even a quirk of that in me. So that was like, again, that made, was so joyful.
Sure.
So we sat down and we talked about a few things. Again, they showed me in that little wavy line, like when I first got up, they showed me the accident so I could understand why the horses panicked. If they had actually let out the herd boss, Montana was his name. And to be the herd boss of 100 horses, you got to be really cranky and mean and tough. And when they come down, all they have to do is put their ears back. And he nipped one of the horses, and that was the horse that screeched, and they all scatter like pigeons on a square, you know, just bolt. And I just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then we talked about my decision, whether I would, what do I do up here? And what will I do back there? And the thing that she said I would do up there was really, really fascinating to me, because it made a lot of sense from some of the people, so many of the people I meet as a therapist. What she explained to me was this, that throughout the evolution of human as a body, mind, spirit being, there have been very, very, very old souls which will incarnate to shift energy and to be teachers. In other words, you could be going talking to the Safeway guy who's bagging your groceries, who's never going to stop doing that for his entire career, and he could be an extremely old soul who's having a nice, pleasant life, but he's just here to ground the energy, whereas other people are teachers. But the thing that's different is those old souls were put into families that supported that. Like the Dalai Lama, when he was born, the two monks found him from astrology predictions, and he saw at the age of 7 these two monks walking up, and he ran home and said to his mother, I have to go. You know, he was like 6 or 7.
Right.
And his mother supported that. And then he went into a monastery. Well, all he did was learn and train in the spiritual, to raise spiritual consciousness. So Mina said that around the 1860s, that the energy had shifted enough on Earth to where they started a new program, which was a volunteer program. So if you could picture like a bunch of old souls being around convents and ashrams and synagogues and temples and things like that, different mosques, you know, different places of learned people that were spiritually learned, the children would be brought in, or they would be brought into families that honored that gift of the child. But what they did was she showed me kind of a little movie of me doing it, where I had a little tiny light about as big as a half a grain of rice. And I was looking over a map where you could see the light being clusters. And I was putting it right in the middle as far away from any light as I could. so that this older soul had to come in. And they were talking about, they said, it's like we're bringing light into the shade. Not like the shadow side, like Jung talked about, or dark. It was just a place where there was not light, just people that hadn't been exposed to it yet. But they were totally alone. At that point, they had to go inside and find that light within. So they may have been born into aggressive, hateful families. They may have been born into fear-based, fundamentalist-type families. But they were born into families that did not recognize their soul level and taught them against it. So I call them Houdini kids, because Houdini used to be blindfold, tied up, put into a bag, and thrown into the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had to get himself out. So these beings, these light beings, had to go inside and find that light within them and say, no, this is not right. So for all the children that were born and felt like they landed in the wrong family, that they, and not in a superiority way, just like there's no one here for me to talk to about what I'm thinking or feeling. And people tend to squash that out of people. They can terrify you. I remember asking a priest one time that used to come to our house for dinner about the angels I saw. And he said that they're devils, because he just thought I was an over-imaginative child.
Of course.
And so he took his water and he blessed it and he sprinkled it on me. He said, now, if you're possessed by the devil, your skin will sizzle. And I was terrified.
Of course.
I think he just thought I was an over-imaginative child and he wanted to, you know, put the fear of God into me or whatever.
Yeah,
he was an ice priest.
It worked.
And it happened like a week after I had psychically seen a car accident before it happened. And it happened, and then I thought I caused it. So I was just very confused, but I shut down. I just shut off anything that had to do with spirit, and I was about 7 or 8 when that happened. So people were born into, some of them were very loving families, but they just couldn't teach the PhD level of spiritual. Mm-hmm. They might have been in 6th grade in their evolutionary levels. So they had to find their own light within. I've had so many people in lectures when I'm doing this lecture come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I always thought I was a changeling. You know, I was looking, and then you find, you know, as soon as you find out, you know, no, I'm okay. Like, you're okay like you, but I'm okay like me. That also brings across the idea that there's many different paths to the top of the mountain, as Buddha said.
Yeah. So, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I felt very much alone with my thoughts and stuff like that. So,
but now you've got your tribe around you, don't you?
Hell yeah.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, shouldn't say hell, but yes. Are you going to tell me? I have the sneaky suspicion that when you return back to your body, it was only minutes that you were out. I don't want to finish up your time goes by very quickly.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Say that they said I was gone. The guesstimate was 10 to 12 minutes minimum, probably 12 to 15 maximum.
That's a long time, Leslie.
Well, you know, the weird part is that if I show my CAT scans to neurologists like Evan and other neurologists, they all look at me and they go, you should be dead. You should be a vegetable.
Leslie, we have to take our last break and we'll be back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Shades of the Afterlife coming right up.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The Art Bell Vault never disappoints. Classic audio at your fingertips. Go now to coasttocoastam.com for full details.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Are you looking for that certain someone who shares your interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal? Well, look no further than ParanormalDate.com, the unique site for like-minded people. If you like the senior crowd, try ParanormalDate.com/seniors to meet like-minded people that are 60+. It all depends on what you prefer. ParanormalDate.com is great for everyone. You can also tap into members that are 60+ at ParanormalDate.com/seniors. Enjoy your search and have some fun at ParanormalDate.com.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we are with Leslie Lupo as she shares her near-death experience. And Leslie, if you were out from 10 to 15 minutes, you're really lucky to be alive.
And I was in the hospital like almost 3 months. I mean, it was a massive head injury. And, you know, I had to go through all that coming back and getting back in my life and figuring out how to organize myself. Because I left an agnostic and came back going, okay, I got to go back to the light. I can't ignore it anymore, you know.
Do you remember making the choice that you wanted to come back and be with your kids? And
yes, yes. We talked about it both ways. And the funny part was once I said, you know, I looked at my children. They showed me my children. They showed me the things I would do down here. I'd go back into my psychology background, which is what I did. But you know, when I finally said yes, then they started to stop me and they go, no, wait a minute. It's going to be really, really difficult. You're going to have a few years in which you are going to have to be very isolated. You know, you're going to have to integrate this. And I'm thinking, few years, what's a few years? I mean, you're up in infinity. What's a couple of years, you know?
Right.
And then I made the decision. And then finally I came and I went into a room in which I was seated, and then I felt like I was being compressed, like I was being squished into a sausage casing. And Raul was with me, and I gasped, and he stopped the process. And he said, remember, you don't have to go back. You can stay here. And I looked at him, and then I thought of my children again, and I thought, no, and what I could do to help down here with bringing hope, which was my next mission. And I said, no, I can do that. I'll go back. And that's when he said to me, remember, every breath is precious. And then I just went clunk and hit the ground.
What I find interesting too, Leslie, is that your soul stepped out of your body before the accident happened, is what you made it sound like, which is that right?
Yes. But you know, what's interesting is I used to work in a nursing home. When I first got out of college, I had a psych degree in majoring in gerontology, and there were no hospices there. There were so many people, when we would call them and say, your mother or father's dying, they would say, call me when it's over. And my motto was, no one dies alone on my watch. So I would go in and sit with them. And I saw that time and time and time again, where the soul would leave, even though the people were talking. It was almost like I could sense it standing there joyful and very happy as the body was dying. And sometimes it would be 2 to 3 minutes. One lady was about 8 or 9 minutes before I could sense that. And even my father died in my arms and my brother's arms. He had fallen and we were holding him. And I saw his soul jump out and I said, he's dying. Don't pick him up. And Tommy looked at me and said, he's still talking. I said, no, he's over there. And then like another minute later, my dad passed. So I think that the soul, I'm not going to say every time, but I'm wondering how often that happens where the person pops out before the accident.
Yeah, I like the sound of that only after witnessing how my dad died of cancer. And someone had said to me, it's, you know, because I witnessed incredible suffering. And somebody just said, you know, it's possible his soul left the body, even though he seems to be, you know, moving in pain and all that stuff.
I was screaming. My body, I shouldn't say I, because I was watching it.
Right.
In my body, and Leslie was screaming bloody murder and getting trampled and smashed in fighting, you know. So it wasn't like I was doped up out there. I watched me be brutally run over and die. But like I said, it was dispassionate. I couldn't witness something like that in this incarnate and have such objectivity.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, well, it doesn't count. There was no, it was like understanding. It's like you get this immortal soul understanding of this bigger picture. And it's just part of letting go. You know, the other thing that I just remembered, which I thought was odd, was I was asked when we were talking about the second time we sat down, Mina and Raul had asked me, do you want to remember this? Or do you want to not remember this? He said that with the trajectory that I was going, the life I was going to go into, they advised me to do it, but they also gave me the choice of remembering or not. And we talked about it and I chose to do it. So I'm wondering how many people that maybe don't remember were given that choice.
That's again, interesting. Yeah. There's lots of people, even my sister met someone who died on an operating table, but didn't have any experience of seeing the light or seeing relatives or whatever. And maybe it's possible that we do get a choice to remember or not remember. Huh. Very interesting. Now, how about being psychic? Did you find that after you healed? I mean, if you went into this being a borderline atheist, even though you had these things happen as a kid that, you know, you had it in there, something must have been magnified that you decided to go into this as a career or make it part of your career.
Well, the thing is, the first time I shut off my intuition or my psychic part, which you can shut off, was when I had that priest and that accident when I was 7 or 8. The second time was when I was supposed to die when I was 21, I was supposed to be with my fiance. We were getting married in August. It was like a picture perfect love at first sight love. And I was supposed to be with him in Albuquerque. And at the very, about 10 days before he died, I got very restless and I wanted to go back to Chicago and earn as much money as I could for school. And he kept saying to me that he had premonitions that he was going to die and begged me to stay. And he wasn't, you know, full of game. And here I am working in psychology in college, but off campus, I had a Wiccan high priestess. I had 2 medicine people and a West African shaman who I was doing apprenticeships with.
Wow.
Opening up. And I was supposedly, I mean, I say that, but because I didn't feel like it, I was very psychic and I was working with tarot and numerology and, you know, herbs and ceremony and energy and all this stuff. And I didn't feel anything like that in Sean's aura. And I kept teasing him and saying I was going to rub his words, his nose in his words when I got back at the end of August. In fact, he called me 2 days before he died and begged me to come back. And it was midnight because I was working 2 jobs and that's the only time he could get me and he wouldn't hang up and I hung up. And then 2 days later he dies, you know, and it was like I just went on such a tailspin. But then when I was upstairs, that made sense because he and I had come down from the same soul group to help facilitate. We had contracted to leave when I was 21. And I didn't go. I, at the last second, decided to jump my contract and stay on Earth. And so all those things kind of made sense to me. But when he died, it devastated me. And I remember I kind of took it out on one of my teachers when I came back, because I went on a rant, like a 5 hours we talked. And I kept saying to her, how could I not see this? How could you not see this? How could you knew him, you know, how could nobody see this? He knew it. And she tried to explain it to me, and I stayed with her another month working with her. But at the end of the day, I just walked away from it and said, it's a bunch of, you know, hooey. It's a bunch of, it's a lie. I was faking it, or I was not faking it, but I was lying to myself. You know, the power of suggestion.
Oh, yeah.
I went back into science at that point, and that was when I was 21. And then when I was 36 is when I got run over, and I went back into spirit at that point. Spent a lot of time in India trying to integrate human and spirit, you know, in my brain, and just did a lot of soul searching and meditation.
Wow. Thanks so much for sharing that. Leslie, we are coming to the end of our time together. Do you have any closing words for us?
It's really recognizing one of the things that always helps me is when I look at the bigger picture and watching the news and seeing the horrific things that happen. I always go back to the day I was born, and I look at the shifts of consciousness that have happened since my birth. And there's many. And there's certain different web pages online that have optimistic news, and they're business people. They're not like, but they show all the positive things. Look at the whole picture. Don't despair over the small percentage of negativity. That's why one of the things I do is I always do a world consciousness, you know, what's going on all over. Because the good guys don't get the headlines.
No, I agree. I always thought there should be GNN, the Good News Network. In fact, there probably is. There's so much good that's happening in the world. And no matter what we focus our attention on, we're going to find it. So if we're looking for negative, yes, we're going to find it. But if we're looking for positive, we are going to find it. If we look at the people in our life, we can easily pick them apart, or we can just look at all their beautiful qualities and know that they're doing the very best job they can with what they have. Oh, what a great time this was talking to Leslie. And for you, our listeners, just a reminder, we have lots of stuff going on online these days. Ever since the virus hit the world in the beginning part of 2020, we moved so many things online. In fact, the beginning of every month, we start medium classes, psychic classes, something called The Way to Your Spirit, which is just a real nice journey for your soul and for you to make the most of your life. We have Trance in the Altered States on Mondays, where we can close our eyes and blend with the energies where our loved ones live. Very special. And of course, on Sundays, we offer a free Sunday gathering. And it's really inspirational, positive, fun, funny, and there's a medium demonstration included in each and every one. Our home base is WeDon'tDie.com. As We Don't Die is the name of my book. You can join our Facebook group. You can go to our Sunday gathering. You can join a class. Everything we offer has money-back guarantee, guaranteed to put a smile on your face and love in your heart, knowing yourself as an eternal soul, having a human experience. So I'm Sandra Champlain, and thank you for listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
And if you like this episode of Shades of the Afterlife, wait until you hear the next one. Thank you for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.